What's going on, everybody? Tony Velasco here, and welcome to episode number 6. Got to use two hands now of the Tony V Project. Super pumped to have my good friend and officially now my own coach and trainer, pro MMA fighter, Mr. John Robles. So you are the first one. Anyone that's been watching the last few has known that the wall behind us was before just a plain old white wall with a few just random afterburn pictures. And actually this week, we finally just got it all done and wrapped up. So huge shout out. Thanks to both Danny and Allison for getting that done. And
looks good.
I just want to go over my favorite piece of all of it. That center photo, the Bo Jackson Tecmo Bowl. Tell me, did you play Tecmo Bowl as a kid?
I didn't play Tecmo Bowl, but I do remember the game. And Bo Jackson is a great athlete. So if you grew up around my era, you know Bo Jackson.
Yeah,
Bo knows everything.
Yes, he does. He is literally, so we were at a Raider game. That's my team, my squad. I know everyone loves to hate on me for that. But he is literally the reason that I became a Raider fan. He was unbelievable, and they were in L.A. at the time, and that's how I became a Raider fan, and I've been with them ever since. But we went to the Charger-Raider game here at the end of the season, the last game of the season, and they had this up for auction, and I saw it with the Nintendo controller. And
I like it.
Just brought back a ton of memories, so I had to grab it. I want you to introduce yourself, brother, and tell them a little about what you do, your background, and all that good stuff.
Well, first off, thank you for having me. I'm excited. My background, I've been an athlete my whole life. I grew up in the South Bay. I feel like I'm one of those kids that kind of grew up just doing everything, and my athletic ability kind of led me into fighting. You know, I didn't grow up doing martial arts, but just being an athlete and kind of doing so many different things, it just led into wrestling. Then wrestling turned into trying myself at a tournament, and then from there just progressed into, you know, this big snowball that it is now. I went to adding to the boxing, the kickboxing, and then just tied it all together. Next thing I knew, I was started to compete and never looked back after that. Pro MMA fighter since 2010. Haven't fought since 2015, but I've been working on building a brand, building a business, and giving the gift to others, helping build themselves up with my personal training, my coaching, and youth development.
Yeah, that's right. You've been doing the school thing, right?
Yeah. So the youth development I've been working on is more with the up-and-coming kids out of where I do most of my fight training. But then also, too, I've been part of a wellness program this year where we're granted some money for a certain amount of charter schools. And after school, I get in there and I teach them some boxing, some kickboxing, and some fitness.
Right on, man. So we're going to do the same thing. Rapid-fire questions, kind of back and forth. Got some fun ones for you. The same kind of thing with that we did with Pat back a couple episodes ago. So I hope you brought some tough ones, brought some fire, because I think I got a couple good ones for you. So
yeah, I brought some fun stuff. Before we get to the questions, why Jigga?
I don't know. Actually, he's probably the best.
He's a hustler.
He's the best ever. I mean, from every aspect, from business to what he can actually do as like a performer and as an artist is unreal. And you know what I mean? I thought it was just kind of I love the look of the photo, so we went with it.
And he's got the hottest chick in the game wearing his chain.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, well, let's do it.
You ready to rock and roll?
Let's do it.
All right, man. You probably know that I'm in the works right now with the book.
Yes.
The Legacy Mindset.
Of course.
And we've obviously just started training now, literally a week and a half.
Mm-hmm. A couple sessions in.
Two sessions in. It's
rough. A killer, by the way. Don't piss him off.
But if it goes longer than 20 or 30 seconds, it's game over. I mean, I'm calling it quits. But I've obviously had a passion for boxing, kickboxing. Like you, I grew up playing sports, baseball, football, basketball, like the normal stuff. I really didn't get into boxing and MMA and that kind of stuff until much later in life. But as soon as I did, I absolutely fell in love with it. And so in the book, I correlate a lot of some of the things that I get out of it into, just from a mindset standpoint.
Of course.
And so there's one part that I would like to ask you a question on, because I think it's totally different hearing it from someone who does it professionally versus someone who just does it for fun like myself.
Okay.
So in the book, the intro chapter talks about the ability to get punched in the face.
Okay.
And how people react to it, right? So in real life, in the fight game, whatever, like, you'll know, I'm sure you know the difference between somebody who wilts under pressure versus someone who is able to take it, rebound, come back, and fight again. So my question is like, everyone has a game plan until they get punched in the face. I want to know if there's ever been a time when that happened to you, where you had an opponent and, you know, you had your game plan. You're like, this is my skill set. This is his skill set. This is what I'm going to do. And that person just came in and maybe overwhelmed you more than you thought they were going to. And you were like, oh, fuck. Like, this is not going according to plan. And how you react to overcome it versus, like, crumbling.
100%. I definitely think the correlation between life and fighting, it's very close. Especially too when you hear that a lot. A lot of times they'll say, you have a plan until you get hit. I can think of a specific time. I was fighting a guy named Matt Lopez, and I was up north in Sacramento with Team Alpha Male training. They had previously trained with him.
You worked with Alpha Male? Mm-hmm. No way.
So I've been fortunate enough, before I answer the question, I've been fortunate enough to have been around a lot of the right people in the right time in my development. It's been huge. But I was up north training, and they were telling me this guy has no hands and he'll break. Like, he has no heart, he'll break. And I don't think I relied on that, but I do remember when I got into the fight, and some things in the warm-up leading up to the fight had kind of led me to mentally kind of stray away from being ready for the fight. And I remember,
like, you weren't taking the guy seriously, like, or maybe you thought he wasn't going to be as
it's hard to find that balance between being confident in what you do and being overly confident. Mm-hmm. And I think I had kind of played that out in my head that I was going to own him with the hands and then break him. And so then right off the bat when he came out and threw a real stiff jab, you'll hear people that watch the fight talk about it, but he hit me with a stiff jab and my brain went blank. And for a second, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And that's a scary feeling because there's no timeout. There's no...
There is not.
He's gonna go easy on you until you figure out what you want to do. You gotta pick up the pieces and move on, and constantly be adapting to the environment. So
on the fly.
So when I got hit in the face, my brain reset, and I didn't know where I wanted to go. And then by that time, he had kind of started getting some momentum, and I was constantly playing catch up. And then eventually, he got me up against the fence, landed some really good shots. And, the ref had to jump in and stop it after, a good 2.5 minutes. It was probably one of the first times I was ever finished that way.
Yeah.
I've been submitted things like that, but to be finished like that, it reset my whole mind. And, in life, you kind of got to take it, the punches as they come, and keep rolling with it and keep trying to search for that answer to get back to your success or winning the fight or, a good, healthy path. So, the whole thing about getting hit in the face until you, or having a game plan until you get hit in the face, everybody reacts different, and you'll never know
until
you get there.
And so, on that same question, like, does that experience, right? And so now you've felt it, you know that, like, from that fight on.
Yes.
If that happened again, did that, like, prepare you for that next time?
No, it's definitely prepared me in the sense that when it's go time and nothing else matters.
Yeah.
So, and that can be the same as for when you have a goal and you want to get after it. There's going to be things that are going to steer you other directions. There'll even be roadblocks. I stopped trying to get over the roadblocks and use them as pivot points to get around it and just keep moving forward. So, it's taught me to just be ready when the bell rings and just kind of have that mentality of not today.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I love that.
That was a great question, by the way. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Heck yeah.
What three words would you use to describe your business self?
My business self?
Yes. Coming from my perspective, in the story that I've heard, you being a trainer, being a coach, and then saying, I want the next level and I want this to be my thing. You obviously created some success for yourself, and that takes a mindset, that takes some values. What are three words you would use to describe that?
Determined. Just, I have like this absolute focus and determination to, again, whether it's just lower my head and go through the roadblocks or pivot around them, but the idea that you know, there's absolutely nothing in my mind that's going to stop me or prevent me from where I want to go. The second one would be adaptability. Yeah. Always prided myself in the ability to adapt to the situation at hand.
The ebb and flow.
Yeah, the ebb and flow. Like, there's so many things that you can't control.
Right.
You know what I mean? From a economic standpoint or other people's, you know, opinions and everything. And so personalities. And so being able to adapt to the situation at hand, the personalities at hand, I think has been an asset. And I don't know if this is a word, but...
Or an idea. It doesn't have to be just one word. Sometimes it kind of limits.
Yeah. You know? But the fear of regret is...
It's a big one.
That's the big one.
For sure. And I think you've said
right
that.
Right up there. Yeah, that is literally what I live by.
Yep.
The idea that, you know, I could 20, 30, 40 years from now wake up and think, what if, or I wish I would have tried, or maybe I could have. Like, that literally freaks me the hell out.
Okay.
And which is why, like, failure and getting punched in the mouth and doing all this stuff, like, that doesn't scare me whatsoever, because I would rather get dropped, figure out what I did wrong so that I could go again, rather than wonder, you know, what if.
Learn the lesson.
Yeah.
Of course.
So yeah, those would be my three.
All right. So then an amateur fight someday.
Yeah, right.
Wouldn't want to regret.
Day one.
Wouldn't want to regret not doing that.
Day one, we started training. He's like, so you ever thought about doing an amateur fight? I'm like, we're just jumping straight to it.
Meanwhile, he's gassed from the warm-up.
Meanwhile, I jump rope for 15 seconds and I'm on one knee already.
But I saw the potential, and that's all it takes, someone to believe in you.
Right?
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Great answers.
With the answer you gave last time, losing, right? I was talking to one of our old coaches here at my former trainer, Herman, and I've asked him this same question in the past. As an athlete, you play football, you play baseball, soccer, whatever. It can be an individual sport too.
Of course.
You lose. Nobody likes losing, right? But there's a difference, at least in my opinion. But I want it coming from a professional. With losing a match versus losing a fight, is there something about that that is harder to overcome than losing a basketball game, a football game? You know what I mean? And if so, what makes you able to overcome that?
In the sense of like a combat?
Yeah. In the sense of a combat, like, it's, you know, it's not, hey, this guy, you know, outplayed me in basketball and beat me 21-15. It's this guy punched my lights out, or, you know what I mean? Like, he just beat me up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is there an element of that? Or as a professional, is that the line where you have to draw and you're like, look, this is a profession, this is a career, you know what I mean? And you try to separate the two.
There's so many different ways you can look at it, because the losing, I've learned more from my losses than my wins. My wins gave me that false sense of confidence that things are going well, and in a way they are. But what about when you meet someone who has the answer to that question? But then also too, I'm not losing. It depends. If you go out there and you just completely get mollywopped and the guy beats you and he's better than you, good. But I feel like my losses have come from me and battling my own self. I've said it before. When it comes to fighting, I'm the artist. He's my canvas. I'm basically fighting myself. I'm fighting my fears. I'm fighting the challenges that that he presents. But at the same time, it's me getting in there and trusting in my instincts and kind of biting down on the mouthpiece and going. But the losing to another person, yeah, it's weird. It's such a process, because it can tear you down so much and it can make you question so many different things. Recently, one of my friends, great fighter, I mean, just complete killer, had, you know, a bad go of it, and now is questioning everything. And I thought I was good at this, and it's such a process you have to go through. It tears you down.
Is it more of like a personal thing because of that? Because again, it's not like you hear other athletes in other sports and they lose and then they start questioning everything. But it happens all the time in boxing and MMA.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's hard to rebound.
Yeah.
It's hard to rebound off those losses, because you start to hesitate. you start to question, and then you know, when you start to hesitate and question, you don't have that confidence. That sometimes the confidence will have you do things that you didn't know you were capable of. Just like the lack of confidence will keep you from doing what you should be doing. So the losing, it's tough. It definitely tears you down. I think it depends on the type of person you are that's gonna, you know, are you gonna stay down or are you gonna get back up? And then when you get back up, are you gonna make that same mistake or are you gonna take that lesson and make some adjustments?
Cool. I like it.
All right, I'm gonna go a little bit out of order here, but what makes Tony nervous?
What makes me nervous? Not fearful, nervous.
Yeah. I mean, and you can go as deep into that as you want to, because, I mean, we'll take all the information we can get. Business, life, anything. Just one thing that kind of, gets your blood going, you know?
So, I'm not sure if I'm answering this question correctly. I'm going to go onto the business side, and I'm going to say not doing enough for everyone that has helped build Afterburn. And I'm talking about management, staff, all of that. So that I have like this super weird sense of obligation to everyone that's on our team that, like, when I'm looking at my potential success down the road and Afterburn's potential success down the road, I also do it 100% in parallel with bringing the people along who have helped build this company.
I like it.
And so I guess in like the nervous slash fear sense that, you know, I'm somewhat nervous or fearful that there's a potential, as there is for anything, that I won't be able to do that.
Okay.
That, you know what I mean? So that makes me nervous because I want to. Like, it's the only way that I can, or one way that I can pay back those who have all, you know, helped create this thing.
It brings you a satisfaction.
Yeah, it brings me a massive satisfaction.
Okay. Yeah.
So
that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Tag, you're it.
All right, I'm gonna go for that. I'm gonna go for the fun one. I want you to give me, I don't know, maybe a couple. If you only have one that's just so top of the list, that just sets it apart from everything else, you can just go with one. But if one or two of the most awkward moments in your MMA career, like funny stuff, off the wall stuff.
Awkward moments, you kind of have them every day because, you know, you're in the gym wrestling around with dudes sometimes, so it can get a little awkward. But funny things, well, I wouldn't even say funny, just kind of weird, but getting someone's eyelashes or when you're rolling around and there's a hair in your mouth, or just sometimes awkward positions in wrestling when you, you know, you kind of have to dig in there and not necessarily grab, but like leverage the inside of the thigh and kind of hang on. I don't know. Wrestling's weird.
Right?
I never did it in high school because I thought it was weird. And then now I do it every day. So it's interesting.
Now you're just grabbing.
Yeah.
Them, right?
Now I have no shame.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Funny story. Before one of my fights, once you get your gloves taped up and you know, you're pretty much ready to walk out and do the walk, there's really no taking the gloves off and having them done again because they mark them to make sure you don't stuff something in your gloves, things like that. So once you're good to go, you can't really get out of your gloves. And before every fight, you know, like I have to go to the bathroom. And sometimes, you know, you got these tight shorts on your cup and it's hard to get, you know, an area to do your business and go to the bathroom. And I peed all over my gloves, wiped it off as much as I could, and then went to knock the guy out. And maybe the ammonia kind of threw him a little off.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, yeah, you know what I mean? You fainted a jab and it kind of hit him. Yeah. And, you know what I mean? He was like, what? And then. Yeah.
But I was losing that fight, by the way, speaking of getting hit in the face and the game plan going out the door. Most of my fights, I've kind of come, not from behind, but I'll put myself in some bad positions to where I got to work myself out, kind of like some guys like to get hit before they really
like
it turn
it
on.
Them up kind
yeah, of exactly. I tend to put myself in these positions where people are like nervous, and then, you know, I come back and save the day. But I think the pee helped for sure.
Yeah. Well, pee, yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime you get pee smeared across your face, it's going to mess with your game plan.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a funny one. I felt like I got the job done with the pee.
Yeah. Okay. Grab a nuts, pee on your hand, whatever it takes.
Yeah, I mean,
a W is a W.
W is a W. It's better than losing.
Right?
All right, here's kind of my fun one, kind of play with it a little bit. But if your younger self suddenly found themselves inhabiting your current body, what would your first action be? Remember the movie Big?
Guide me. What would you do?
What would I do?
Yeah, what would your 12-year-old self do?
I would definitely take school more seriously. I definitely would have skipped the girls and went to the moms in high school.
Jump right to the experience.
Yeah, I mean, they were better. And then I would have definitely applied myself in practice. I've been one of those kids that had a natural athletic ability, and it got me very far until I realized you had to put in the work.
All right, you just got it. I have two stories that probably help define, I think, who I am.
Perfect.
And one of those stories is going to sound really, really stupid. And it goes into literally one of the reasons why I fear regret so much.
Okay.
I didn't play. So, again, played sports. And high school came, freshman year high school, and decided to opt out of playing football. Ended up playing baseball. I'd always, to be honest, I was probably always better at football from an athletic ability. And literally was in the, wherever it was, to with my dad, like ready to cut the check to pay for the gear and ready to rock and roll. And I backed out last minute because I was like, you know what? I know this is going to be practice and everything all summer long. And that's what football is. Your summers are
commitment.
Pretty much gone. It's commitment.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Like, I'll do it next year. I want to take one summer off and just kind of, you know, go on vacation, go to Havasu or Vegas, wherever we went when you're, you know, 13, 14 years old. And I opted out and didn't play. And obviously then sophomore year came and I'm like, I'll just focus. And it turned into a, well, I'm not going to do it this year. I'll just focus on baseball. Ended up never, not playing. And literally to this day is one of the biggest regrets of my life. Now, I also firmly believe in everything happens for a reason. And, you know, like I have no qualms with,
right,
you know, where I am, obviously, but just the idea of like there being some sort of regret literally has given me that kind of drive and motivation to not feel that again. So I would definitely say then at 14 or 13 or whatever it was that I would have jumped on it. You know what I mean?
You'd have taken it.
Yeah.
I
would definitely would have done that. And
okay.
Yeah.
But I could see that for sure. One of those things where, yeah, you don't really have the regret, but it's more of just, all right, you know, next time something like that pops up,
yeah,
I'm going to do it.
Because I think the biggest thing for me is that the reason for why I didn't do it is why I regret it. You know what I mean?
It wasn't deep enough.
Yeah, because I want to go on fucking vacation and I want to relax. Like,
but you're also a kid.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if I had a little bit, you know what I mean? If I had a little bit more experience and sense, I would have slapped myself in the face and, you know, told myself to wake up and, you know, man up a little bit.
On that note, one of the things that I've really been trying to do lately and that's helped my mindset is that if I'm not going to do it, someone else will.
Yep.
So if there's something you want to do, I mean, as nervous as you may be and as hesitant you may be to do it, just do it, because if you don't, someone else will.
Hesitation kills all, man.
Mm-hmm.
In the fight game here, you know what I mean? You already said it. Like, you start to hesitate a little bit, someone's going to take advantage of you.
Yeah, it's that split second.
Same thing in life in all aspects.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. What is, this may be a super broad question, but what's the toughest aspect of fighting?
The mental. You go through so much physical training, there's no way that you're not physically ready. It's the mental. Kind of the same way you, you know, would have changed that one little thing, that one decision that you made going into football. For me, I got to the point, and you've said it too, hard work isn't enough.
Yeah.
It's the process and it's the development. I work hard at everything I do. And at that point, coming from the kid that had, natural talent, and then hit a roadblock in junior college sports where the kids that didn't come so easily, they were doing the extra work. I learned a hard lesson by getting dropped from my junior college soccer program. The coach brought me on,
yeah,
and said, you know, you're not taking this seriously. Like, go regroup. And in that regrouping process, I found jiu-jitsu, found wrestling, I found boxing, found kickboxing. So then I developed this almost little sickness of no matter what I did, it was never enough. So I was working, overworking, hard work sometimes, was getting the job done, but the development wasn't coming because I wasn't focusing on maybe the little things.
Yeah.
Just kind of overall, the mental game is the hugest part. And my mom told me for so long to get that part done. And not until actually Connor started coming around did I see how huge the mental game is.
Yeah.
And he's brought a whole nother level to it in the mental warfare because, like we talked earlier about, there's that fine line of riding confidence and then illusion. Mm-hmm. But you need that fine line to kind of open up that space that you didn't know was there.
Yeah.
That your confidence will just kind of allow that flow state.
So I literally, the chapter that I'm on right now, about 75% done with the book, and I'm just now starting to write up a chapter about the idea of perseverance or grit or determination and the idea of delusion and like how they can be so closely related to one another. Because I see it all the time when I talk about when you see other people, either whether they be aspiring entrepreneurs, business, fighters, whatever, and there's an element of just work hard, you know, face the grindstone, just go, go, go. Somebody on one side is telling them, you know, just keep grinding, just keep going. And these poor guys are just going, but they're not building that foundation. And they don't have the self-awareness to realize that they're missing these pieces. And so they're in a state of delusion that, you know what I mean? And it's, unless you have all of these other foundational pieces underneath, then you can easily fall into that trap.
Yeah. I mean, when you really believe in something and the belief in what you're going to do is there, it shows. And then when it's false, that shows as well.
So you brought up Connor. I want to talk about the state of MMA in general. So I want to know your opinion on it. And this is less of a question and more of just something I kind of just want to banter back and forth about. But in my opinion, outside of Connor McGregor, the sport, I think, has hit its peak. It's come down a little bit. Okay. The Fertitta brothers, they sold off at the right time, made their billions. And I find myself, I mean, I was all in. I mean, there wasn't a freaking UFC that I didn't watch for a period of 2 or 3 years, you know, during the Anderson Silva and GSP, and like I would say all the way up until call it 2012-13, probably even later than that, probably like 2013-2014. The last 2 years, maybe even 3 years, I've just found myself just disinterested, unless it's like this huge fight. And so, I mean, do you think that it's hit its peak? Do you think it's, I mean, where do you think it's going? I mean, I don't think it's falling off a cliff. No.
I definitely, I think it's hit a, I don't want to say a peak and I don't want to say a plateau, because you still have the development of these kids that they don't, aren't going into soccer. They're not going into baseball. They're doing MMA. And those kids are going to be the kids that are going to be doing things that you just, it blows everyone's minds. The athletic ability, kind of like how the snowboarding and the skateboarding with these younger kids having the Woodward camps, development camps, have just skyrocketed what they're doing at such an early age. I think you'll start to see that in the next couple of years. I do like what Connor's done. If there's not a lane, create one. He's created one for a lot of people. And the people that hate on him, it's because they're threatened by it. You should do your thing. You have your gift. He has his. And if he opens up opportunity for you, like, don't hate on it. Feed off of it.
Yeah.
Use it to create something for yourself. I definitely think the sport is still growing. But I think with money being involved and now the fan base being so huge that you start to lose some of that educated wanting to watch the skills go at it rather than it just being a fight.
Well, and I agree with you. And you keep bringing up Conor McGregor, he's actually in my notes to talk about, because I think that's maybe partly what's happened is we really don't have, I don't believe, a ton of very like individuals or athletes in the MMA scene that are great self-promoters. Even, and because I agree with you, I think the skill set nowadays is literally light years beyond what it was 5 years ago, let alone 10 years ago. I mean, it's completely different. Whole other world.
Professional athletes.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, now you're getting some more of those people who would have gone the other route, football, soccer, et cetera, mm-hmm. because now there's an end game for this.
Of course.
So, but I see it eventually going, not completely with like all these different organizations like boxing, but somewhere in the boxing realm, because it just seems like the people like Conor McGregor, who are extremely good self-promoters, who have had the ability to get people to love or hate him. I mean, there's no middle ground with Conor. You either love him or yes. you hate him. And that's why he's so good. He does the same thing as Mayweather. You love him or you hate him.
But you will watch.
But did you either want to see his get his ass beat or you want to see him kick the other guy's ass exactly. because you love him? But there's so many – here's my opinion, I think, on MMA. I think that there's so many guys that fall in the middle ground where they people don't love them or hate them, maybe coming from like a martial arts background, mm-hmm. and so they're not as loud and boisterous as Conor.
Yes.
And so they suffer. Like they have the skill set, but they don't have the willingness and the personality to get out there and promote themselves, and so they stay down here, and then only, you know, the rest of the sport kind of stays down there because they don't have – even guys like Tito and, you know what I mean, stuff like that, like his skill set nowadays, I mean, it's nothing. Yeah. But he was an amazing self-promoter.
And he did do the job as well. I think with the martial arts aspect of it, you'll always have that. Then you'll have the promotion aspect of it. But I don't think if it's not you, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, you got to get the job done and get in there and fight. And I think that's job number one. So when it comes to Conor, I think if that is your thing, like, yeah, utilize, you know, your showmanship and get in there, but make sure you do the job first because no one wants to see the guy that came out with the coolest walkout song throwing $100 bills around
and then
get laid out. I think there was an Aussie Man Rules of one of those where this guy's coming out with some girls and he's just super into himself, comes out and then gets burped in the first minute, like out cold. And it's hilarious. Yeah. You don't want to be that guy. So as far as it being good or bad for the sport, I think just as the sport grows and money becomes more of a thing.
Like, what do you think about guys like Demetrius Johnson?
I think he's great.
He's amazing. You hear people like him and other people chirping that he doesn't get paid enough and this and that, and they're doing him dirty, the UFC. But I mean, do you agree with that? Or do you think that, hey, at some point, like, you got to do a better job of promoting yourself, Demetrius? Or do you think he's just a little guy and people don't care about little guys? Because I don't know if I agree with that. Because his name's not that much bigger than him. And his fights are exciting.
Yeah, I mean, he puts away guys every single time. I think for Demetrius, I don't know. What I do love about him is that he knows his value and he goes for it. And he's not doing anything that's not him.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, he still gets the job done. It's hard. It's because if you want to look at it as a fan, yeah, then I want to see him talk some shit.
Yeah.
But if you want to look at it as an athlete or a coach or a martial artist or someone who appreciates the fight, then, you know, you don't care about all that other stuff.
Yeah.
It's like watching a boxing match where you have no idea what's going on. And then you take some boxing lessons and you see some good footwork. You're like, oh, I can watch this and understand it now.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
I think the people that are so into just the crap talking, the self-promotion, they don't have a perspective or a respect for the martial arts part of it, the fight, which is what we're there to watch. Two guys fight and one be better than the other at the moment.
Yeah, I can't, on the watch the footwork thing, I can't even watch certain movies, like MMA movies or boxing movies, because, yeah, it drives me insane when I see, like, them punching and this. Yeah. I see them throw punches or I see their footwork and it just looks horrible. Like, I can't even watch it.
What translates in a fight or in the sparring room doesn't always translate on camera, mm-hmm. and it's so hard to do sometimes. Best advice you've ever received?
I'll go with business, from a business standpoint. I'm sure there's better life advice that I've received, but the first thing that popped into my mind was a form of don't hesitate. So people that I've known that have been business mentors of sorts to me, who have said, look, I've made these mistakes. Don't follow the same path I did. And it's mostly with, like, if you know something is wrong or off, or there's a person that you know shouldn't be in the position that they're in, like, let them go. Don't hesitate, because it'll drag the company down. It'll drag everyone else around them down.
Okay.
And just have that discipline to make the tough decisions and make the tough calls, because it's only hurting them and you and everybody around, you know, everyone that's involved at the same time. So I guess it would be that, just not to hesitate.
So kind of putting the feelings aside, whatever it is, and think what's the best for whatever the situation is.
Exactly. Leave emotion out of it. I think.
And that's hard sometimes.
It's super hard. Especially when there's instances where you like the individual. You know what I mean? It's not even always a situation where you think they're just horrible. Like, there's times where they're just not good, but doesn't mean you don't like them. You wouldn't go get drinks with them or go hang out with them. And so those are the toughest ones. Right. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's been something, and it's always a constant work in progress, but that's something I've definitely, you know, tried to stay vigilant on.
So that kind of goes back into who you are as a person. When we talked about the words you use to describe yourself, is that because you want so much for other people, is that a challenge for you sometimes to kind of say, all right, hey, look, this is what's actually better for the company?
Yeah, it is. But there's also an element of, most of the time, I believe that it's going to be better for them in the long run too. Mm-hmm. So, because if I really don't see that individual working out in the long run, I'm just delaying it, which means I'm, you know, maybe they're investing their time and effort because they think there's potential growth or whatever. And if I lead them down this path of, you know, where I'm just
delaying inevitable.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm lying to them essentially. So it's a much better truth for everyone involved, and I think it will benefit everyone involved. Again, in the long run, it's not that, I mean, that moment is never fun.
No, it's hard.
But it's always better in the long run, I think.
All right.
All right, last one. I always say, and I've said this to Allison before, and she thinks I'm completely, like, I've lost my mind when I've told her this. Like, she obviously doesn't get it. So one of the reasons that I love boxing and sparring, and again, I've never done it professionally, only for fun. But there's something about it. Like, it just, like, this sense of when you're sparring or fighting someone, I don't believe that there's anything else on this planet, maybe besides, like, one of those crazy wingsuits where, like, you're on the verge of death the entire time. But, like, it makes you feel alive.
The intensity.
I don't know if it's, like, all because your senses are so heightened or what it is, but it gives me, like, this absolute sense of being alive and being in that moment and, you know what I mean, and analyzing, watching, and reacting because of the potential, you know what I mean? What are your thoughts? I mean, do you agree?
Yeah, I've never felt more alive than when I'm in the cage. What making that walk, preparing in the back, going through all the emotions, going through all the mindset stuff, still having to stay focused on the task at hand while this guy's trying to rip your face off. Yeah, there's no intensity like it. I've never taken away so much from anything else in my life. You know, traveling has brought me up and developed me a lot, but the experience is going through training, through the hard sparring, through the challenge of getting ready for a fight. It's almost like, for me, I've always said it, the fight is the dance, because you kind of like get to live in your reactions, in your intuitions, and it's the realest challenge you'll find yourself, because there's no lying. There's no running. There's no hiding. You either did the work or you didn't. And there's always a way out, but that's where you challenge yourself, is when it gets deep. Like I said, in most of my fights, I've come from behind in a way. And that's when you really have to decide what you want. Whether you're winning or losing, there's going to be a moment in the fight, I feel, in my experiences, there's always going to be a moment in the fight, winning or losing, that you have to decide, how bad do I want this? Do I want to push these last 10 seconds and try to finish the fight, or I'm kind of safe here wrestling this guy. If I don't finish him this round, next round, I'll just take him down and stay where I'm safe. pushing that envelope when it's scary, when the emotions are going, when your fear tells you to pull back, but your desires tell you to go forward. That's where I think you develop who you are as a person. And going through what I've been through, I mean, my last fight, I ripped my nose open, broken, leaking blood everywhere. Every time I got hit, it was a challenge to go forward. Every time I got hit, it was like this red buzzer that would go off. And I remember thinking at one point, man, will you stop hitting my nose? Like, seriously, dude, stop. And he would do these ones where he'd hit me and then backhand me a little bit. And it was just that was just mentally resetting my brain. But I knew, having had a couple losses before, that he was going to have to kill me to get me out of there. But I still had to fight that feeling of going forward and then boom, getting reset with that red buzzer going off on my nose. And like I said, you just have to kind of develop this want to face your fears and challenge yourself and say, all right, what am I made of?
Do you, and this is the second part of my question, have you ever had fear? Is it okay to have fear?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
As you're walking in? And yeah. Then how do you deal with it if so? Like,
if you were to tell me that you weren't fearful of what you're about to do, I'd question you, or I'd think you were really crazy, and then I'd really question whether or not you should do it, because you might hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Every fight, and you'll ask anyone that's ever fought, there's a point in the back where you're like, what the hell am I about to do? Like, I signed up for this?
Yeah.
Yeah, the fear is, it's just what you do with it. I mean, your fear is kind of going to push you to your limits and show you your limits. And it's really just a feeling.
Yeah.
It's just a feeling that you got to get over, but that's the hard part.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're definitely fearful, but at the same time, like, everything you want is on the other side of your fears.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not the first person to say it. So, okay. So your successes are a reflection of your daily habits. What are some of yours?
So first of all, I'm gonna relate this back to working out, and I think everyone goes through, you know, ups and downs and how consistent they are. But I think having that be a part of my daily routine is absolutely crucial to what I do. And I think it's absolutely crucial to anybody that wants any sort of success. Obviously, it's a mandatory thing. Yes. If you're fighting, but I think, I don't care if you have a desk job as a CEO and you could literally run your company and never leave your office or your chair, exercise is going to help you. The mom who raises kids or the dad who works and comes home, like, it's going to help you in every single aspect of your life. So I think that it gives me energy, it gives me confidence, it gives me all of that, which translates into everything else that I do. Here's an odd thing that I don't do as much anymore that I don't know if regret not doing, because I can always start tomorrow, but I think it's something that I need to get back on board with, is waking up early. And I don't think that there's, like, I don't believe that it's a pure correlation to, you know, because I think there's people who, you know, maybe they get into work at 8 or 9 and maybe they go to bed late because they're working. Like, I don't think it's only like, I don't believe in the early bird gets the worm across the board. I don't think it's black and white as that. But for me, there's something about waking up early, because I used to do it all the time for God knows how many years at 4 in the morning when I used to train all the time. And there's something about waking up early that just sets the tone for the day. You know what I mean? That I've already, it's just a mental thing that by, call it 10 a.m., most people are just getting started with their day and in the flow of things.
Right.
And I've already crushed and conquered, you know, 6 hours or 7 hours of work or whatever it is. And it just gives you a feeling of like, I'm ahead of the fucking game. And I'm ahead of everyone else who is just getting out of bed. That's one thing that I almost miss, you know, now that I don't do personal training anymore. So I would say that.
So what time are you waking up then?
Now I get up at, I mean, I'm into the office by 8.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm getting up at, now I'm up at, my alarm goes off at 6:50.
Okay.
So,
Pretty,
yeah, when I used to wake up at, you know, my alarm would be off at 3:50 is when my thing would sound, or, you know, 4:15, 4:30, 4, you know what I mean? Somewhere around there. I mean, my alarm was going off with either a 3 or a 4 in it because I was at the gym at 5 a.m.
Brutal.
So, but it was just this weird sense of, empowerment, I guess, by getting up that early. Well, thanks, brother.
Thank
you.
Appreciate
you coming out, man. You got you have to do one thing for me.
Okay.
Because I know we've talked about this in the past. You have got to commit on camera to doing what you told me that you wanted to do.
100%. 100%.
I don't remember if you said a podcast, but I know you're talking about like doing videos, getting your YouTube up, you know what I mean? Crushing that.
So
push them to either a Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, and then you're committing here on forth to following through with that.
So coming this year to YouTube, just the tips, a shortcut to the good stuff.
That is the greatest name of all time.
You know, I feel like I dabble around in so many different things, whether it be nutrition, whether it be, and I'm still developing, and that's one of the biggest things as well. Me and Tony had a meeting not too long ago, and I told him some of my goals, one of them being educating myself, challenging myself, and then also, two, putting up the YouTube channel. I get it so much, whether it be, you know, you're such a motivating person, or nutrition questions, or, hey, how do I wrap my hands? Because I can't do it 3 minutes before class. You know who you are. But coming soon this year, I'm pretty much trying to collect content and make sure that you guys have an outlet, not only just for the people I have in class, but to just reach a broader audience and to get myself out there. And I feel like I have a lot of knowledge that I want to give to people. And like I said, be opening up pretty soon. The channel's open, it's just private because we're collecting content, but just the tips, a shortcut to the good stuff.
Right on, I like it.
Thank you.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for coming out, John.
Thank you, Tony, I appreciate it.
See you guys next week.